I'll be preaching today from the Acts reading, which we have already heard. And you have already read your watches and understand that Mother's Day lunch will be late if I don't leave something out. I'm not preaching from the gospel lesson, so I'm leaving it out. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Some folks read the Pentecost story in Acts and they say, how could all that have happened? I'm afraid you'll have to let go of that question. I can't help you if you're stuck at the beginning. Others may have filed away the Pentecost event as factual, but so old and dusty it simply makes no difference now, and that's sad. And some haven't begun to ponder Pentecost at all. Willimon wisely says, we must let the story have its way with us. So let's try. The Pentecost event begins with the powerless disciples just waiting around. We can do that. They were told, do not go out and preach and teach. Instead, wait. Stay in Jerusalem until you are filled with the Holy Spirit, until you are baptized, empowered, guided, changed, and directed by the very presence of God and the person of the Holy Spirit. And when it happened in Acts 2, this is what it seemed to look like to them and to sound like. There was uncontrolled wind and whooshing and the tongues of fire and the preaching and the hearing in various languages. That was what they were waiting for. And we call it the Pentecost event. The church left us this account in the book of Acts to let us, the future church, know that what was promised did happen and made all this, and all our confirmands and our colleges and hospitals and orphanages and missions and John Wesley and the abolition movement and the Bible and the one at your house and a sense of mission and everything that we have here today possible. The Pentecost event and the coming of the Holy Spirit upon those first disciples was testimony that we are not led by a list of written rules. We are not a club that simply says, be nice and sing songs. No, we are led, empowered, and directed by a living God who was and still is with us. God is still guiding us into the truth of what Jesus taught and what to do and where to go and how to build in our generation the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. And yet, United Methodists tend to leave the Holy Spirit generic at best, are out of worship and out of our daily prayer life. The story of Pentecost reminds us that we need to invite and include and welcome God's Holy Spirit into our picture of God. We have a picture that includes three, God, Father, Son, and Spirit, not just two. When I study the Scripture, I wonder why we are so surprised as we are the story of Pentecost. We were told again and again that this is coming. All of the Gospels talk about John the Baptist, and we hear John's words repeatedly, I baptize you with water, but one is coming who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And isn't that just what happens at Pentecost? When we studied the four Gospels on Wednesday night a few months ago, we saw that each Gospel comes at Jesus and His teaching from different angles, but they all agree on one big point, that John the Baptist came baptizing with water, but the Messiah would come baptizing in a new way with the Holy Spirit. All four Gospels agree on this point, in some form or fashion, extraordinarily, that Jesus revealed God in a new way, and He would baptize not with the same old ritual of water, but with the Holy Spirit and with fire. It denotes cleansing, empowering, rebirthing. It means we are dependent upon God for our salvation and for the very existence of the church. And so, as we are finishing a general conference, which happens every 4 years in the rules of our denomination, and getting ready for our annual conference for our state denomination, it reminds me that you and I don't need to protect the church. It's God's church. And we don't get to define the church. It's God's church. And we can't filter people, our music, or preachers at the door of the church. It is God's church. And our job is to seek where God's Holy Spirit is leading us now, to discern where God is leading the church next. Because Pentecost reveals that God led the earliest church in some directions that they did not want to go. They were led out to folks that they called filthy Gentiles. They didn't want to go there. And they were led out to the heretic Samaritans. They didn't want to go there. So where next? We don't get a vote. It's God's church. Not even the disciples who were directly taught by Jesus himself had what they needed to go out in God's name until they waited and received power and direction from on high at Pentecost. Acts echoes the four Gospels saying, John baptized with water, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. They got power, they got direction, and they got their marching orders. And then they proclaimed repentance and forgiveness and grace to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. They gathered at Pentecost and they were clothed. They were baptized with fire and spirit. And that is baptismal language, to be clothed with power. We take off the old and we are put on the new. Those who had been silenced found tongues to preach. And they found words to communicate. And they found the power to proclaim and the courage to proclaim forgiveness and newness and the universality of Christ as Savior. These were the same men who had been locked away with the doors and the windows shuttered for fear just after the crucifixion. Now this is a big gear change here. Hold on to your pew. Do you remember the Tower of Babel story? I hope you do. It is connected to Pentecost in this way. Traditionally, it is seen as the undoing. Pentecost is the undoing of the division that is underlined in the Tower of Babel story in the Old Testament. In that story, all humanity was separated by language and tribe and nation. And before I run ahead too fast and talk about unity under Christ, amen, then go home, I might let you know that I do know we're still pretty much separated in a Babel-like way by language and tribe and nation. And true enough, through the ages, we think this human philosophy, this political movement, this system of government, this scientific breakthrough is what we've been waiting for, and now we shall be as God and recreate the world. And that's what happened at Babel. They developed high-tech, at the time, hardened bricks. That's what high-tech as you got back then. Hardened bricks that enabled them to build tall towers, taller than ever before. And they stood on that puny pedestal and they proclaimed themselves equal to God. That was the problem. Something like that seems to happen just about every generation. And sometimes even people of faith get sucked into it and they think, now this will make us masters of all ills and suffering and war and disease, and we won't need religion or God anymore. We can remake the world better. Well, you look back at history, so said Nietzsche, and that led to Hitler and his version of utopia. And so said Marx and Stalin and Mao, and millions died for that version of a godless utopia. And there will be more, and I am sure there's no end to technology and philosophy that will continue to develop. In every generation, there are those who will not wait upon God and who say instead, now we've got it right this time, and we'll establish paradise on earth without even a nod to God. That's what Babel was and is. And I hope it's clear that Pentecost has always been seen as a reversal of that first Babel and division and separation of humanity. Pentecost is to be the beginning of a reunion of humanity under God in Christ. Acts wants us to see and hear that they spoke and the whole world understood the gospel in their language. And the reason there were so many people in Jerusalem at that time is that there were 120 people who Peter spoke to earlier. That was one part of the crowd. But Pentecost was a Jewish holiday. Pentecost means 50. And it's the seven Passover, the 7 weeks, the 7 Sabbaths after Passover. That's 50 days in which they celebrate a time of harvest. So Pentecost was an already existing Jewish Thanksgiving of sorts. And so for this Jewish Thanksgiving, all the Jews from all over the world were in Jerusalem, and that's when this happened. You see, Christians did not make up Pentecost. It was there already. So they were all there with all the different languages, and that's when the gospel was proclaimed and heard at once by these people from every corner of the known earth. Bishop Willimon writes, "To those in the church today who regard the Spirit as an exotic phenomena of mainly interior and purely personal significance, the story of the Spirit's descent at Pentecost offers a rebuke. This outpouring of the Spirit is anything but interior. Everything is by wind and fire, loud talk and buzzing confusion and public debate. The Spirit is the power which enables the church to go public, to attract a crowd, and to have something to say that was worth hearing. And it is not what most people think of as a speaking in tongues miracle, not exactly. It's more of a miracle of hearing than speaking, because everyone heard in their own language the preaching of the Gospels. It was a Spirit-inspired understanding of the Gospels across boundaries of language and tribe and nation. And the church was born in this way. Now, many of us have seen and heard the offensive way to share the Gospel. I know that we have. And thinking of those offensive ways, and we want to be nice people, we do not want to offend anyone, and so we make the leap. We don't even attempt to share the gospel for fear of offending someone. But notice at Pentecost, no one was harassed, no one was harangued, no one was given a pamphlet. In the Pentecost story, the people from the other countries heard the words in their own language. And this means that God's Spirit gave them and will give us, in a way, the power to speak and hear and communicate God's truth to other people. Our words, the church words that we use, don't make sense to folks outside. If you go speaking of atonement and justification and sanctification and providence, etc., that has no meaning to people whose language is survival from day to day. And so the church must speak to people in their immediate needs and then to their spiritual needs. We must not neglect either one. Some Christian churches will feed but not preach, and some will preach but not feed. We must do both to speak the language and to the situation of all people. There are many ways to communicate God's compassion, God's love and grace, and all of these ways involve both words and meeting real needs. And I don't know why this is so difficult for us, but it is. We first need to find the words to say to ourselves that without love and forgiveness and the transformation that comes from God in our lives, we don't have anything to share and we don't have anything to say. So Pentecost has to first make us look internally to see our own story so that we know what it is we have to share. The good news that you have to share is how God has helped you overcome these things, and how God has redirected your life, changed your story, and changed your direction. Sharing the good news is sharing how God has helped you. You already know that story. The Spirit will help you tell it, and you have already lived it. God has done things in your life, and God has done things in my life. You do have a story to share. And when God's Spirit is moving in you, you will be moved to compassion for others. It always, always works that way. When we come to God, God sends us out to others. And we also need to listen. Their stories, whoever they are, need to be heard. God wants us to understand each other. And God knows that their stories and our stories are connected to each other in God's continuing creation. We're all part of a bigger story that God is writing in the world, and you're in it. You get a chapter in it. The Pentecost story tells us that God's Spirit is still resting upon the church, and the gift of communication is still with us, and the wind of God's Spirit is still refreshing us and helping us to breathe deeply and sending us out. The Spirit of God wants us to communicate with one another and understand the power of God's love and peace and freedom from destructive, ego-driven temptations and oppression. And some of you also are held down by old wounds and bitterness from the past and old guilt, which God has already forgiven you of. Let go of those things and move on. Move on, breathe freely so that you can share your story. Some of you are oppressed by rigid standards of success, which you have attained, and you have found do not fill all the empty parts of your soul. And some worry too much about how you look, and some about what others think, and what you wear, and where you live. No place here is your final home, and no thing you own can you take with you. As Billy Graham has said, he has not yet seen a hearse behind with a U-Haul pulled behind it. You don't get to take anything with you. I think I heard my 12 o'clock beat, but I'm almost finished. Our witness is where God has intersected and influenced and directed our lives through trial and temptation. I don't need to teach you how to tell that. You have lived it. Your story, whatever it is, doesn't make you inferior. And your story, whatever it is, doesn't make you superior. It is simply your story and how God is working so far in your life. That's your witness. Speak it boldly to others whose language may be different from yours, but listen to them too. Because we are all part of a larger story of what God is doing in the world. God has not stopped doing in the world. Through trial, temptation, triumph, and defeat, God's Holy Spirit is actively building, recreating, rebirthing, and cleansing souls each day. It isn't, finally, a new vaccine or a new medicine or stem cell research or longer lives that will make paradise on earth. It is changed, connected, united hearts with God, enabled to truly love, to truly care about others, each telling his or her story of how it is that God has woven us into the fabric of the kingdom. And so let our prayer be, come Holy Spirit, help us communicate your repentance, your renewal, your forgiveness, your grace. Come Holy Spirit, give us compassion and direction and move us from this place into the world. Amen.